You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
And not everything I'm going to talk about today is illegal, but everything that I'm going to talk about today is bad for regular Americans.
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
I'm a geek. I'm a nerd. I'm a data wonk.
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I talk about food a lot on the show. It's a thing. I am a foodie.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Happy hump day, everybody. I'm so very glad to be with you. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you've got your hair on fire, your undies in a twist, a chip on your shoulder, what have you, you got some things that you want to talk about, some specific instances of Donald Trump's corruption, which has been a theme of today's show, write them down. Make a mental note, because we're going to go in deep on that at 5:30 in a little segment we want to call What's Your Thing? The Midweek Sound Off. So keep all of your powder dry. We got that coming up for you. But right now, we're introducing a new segment. We call it the Sports Weekly. And as it is baseball season, and I love me some baseball, especially some Brewers baseball, I'm super excited to be joined by a very special guest. His name's Jason Wang. He's a writer and contributor at BrewerFanatic.com. And my brother does not even live in Wisconsin. He lives in Seattle, Washington. Welcome to the show, Jason. So happy to have you here.
Yeah, thank you so much. Happy to be here.
So tell me, how does a young man living in Seattle, Washington become such a Brewers fan, not just a fan, but such a Brewers fan that you write and contribute to BrewerFanatic.com?
Yeah, so I think my baseball story is a little weird. I actually didn't know any of the rules of baseball. I never played Little League or T-ball growing up. So I went to my first baseball game in 2022, June.
And I'm sorry, brother. Did you just say, like, you went to your very first baseball game 3 years ago?
Yeah, yeah. So I really didn't know anything. There is this guy named Mike Trout playing on the Angels.
Yeah, that guy, that Mike Trout.
I was like, oh, that's a goofy name. I wonder if that guy is important. Turns out that's the Mike Trout we all know and love. But yeah, I just kind of wanted to figure out what all the weird acronyms and numbers meant on the giant Jumbotron. And then that sent me down this rabbit hole where I was had all these thoughts and wanted to get them out somewhere. And this guy by the name of Brock Beauchamp was looking for writers to cover the Brewers. And I was like, might as well. They got a funny logo. It's got the M and the B and the glove and whatnot. But yeah, so that's kind of how I got roped into the Brewers.
So the weird logo is what sucked you in.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
pretty much. I think it is one of the best logos in all of baseball. And now I'll share with you my own epiphany moment about the Milwaukee Brewers. Because I grew up with the Brewers, right, I went to games before I probably had sentient memory. I never realized that the Brewers logo, the classic one of the M and the B and the glove, was actually an M and a B. Had no idea. Yeah. It was just like, oh, no, that's just the Brewers logo, and it looks like a catcher's mitt, and that's what it is. Had no stinking idea, which I'm very embarrassed to admit on live radio, but I'm going to do it anyways, because, you know, embarrassing myself on the radio is always a good thing. So you've been a fan since 2023 when you started writing for Brewer Fanatic, but you've never been to AmFam Field, but you've seen the crew play in Seattle. What's it like when the Brewers are in town in Seattle? Do you get a decent number of Brewers fans coming out in Seattle, or is are the tickets a little cheap?
You know, I hate to say it, those Brewer games are probably some of the least populated games at T-Mobile Park, but it gives me a better chance to talk to the players when they're like warming up in the bullpen. Or just kind of hanging out because there's less competition. So, you know, there's an upside to everything. So that's the silver lining there.
Well, I love that. All right. So let's dive into why the Brewers and what you think about this coming season. First of all, of course, starting out our baseball season without Uke is for me, dislocating would be a word, mind numbing. Also, like, I keep listening for him. I love to listen to baseball rather than watch it. I'm sort of a purist that way. What do you make of the start of the Brewers season thus far? Strengths and weaknesses, Jason?
Yeah, I think strengths, it's a scrappy young team. I know people in baseball love to use that term scrappy, but it really is a team of guys who aren't big name free agents, aren't marquee players, and they're all trying to kind of make a name for themselves in this league. And every play, they play with urgency. They always play like their hair's on fire. They run a lot on the base paths. They cause a lot of ruckus. And, you know, the hustle is definitely there and the grind is definitely there. The struggle with the Brewers is, you know, injuries. So many injuries.
Like, my gosh, yeah. The entire bullpen.
I don't know what kind of bad karma they've gotten there. But, yeah, a ton of injuries. Not a lot of power in those bats. They're not kind of sending 8-9 balls out of the park per game. So that makes it a little bit difficult to have consistent high scoring. But I think they make it work. And I think for the most part, they're doing well with what they have.
Yeah, it's interesting. I joke with a good number of my baseball nerd friends that, like, are we going to see the Brewers with the Nerf bats tonight or something else? But the thing that I've always, season over season, really enjoyed about the Brewers, which you hit on, is that it's a small ball baseball team. They always have been, right? They're always trying to, like, stitch it together in any way, shape, or form, whether you're talking about bunts and good smart, heads in, base running, all that kind of stuff. And I think the wins that they have been able to chalk up that weren't those more unusual games with the big hitting has all been through good small ball baseball. I want to share with you, Jason, and with listeners, and then I want to ask you what you like most, what keeps your love of baseball going, because I'm going to share with everybody what mine is. And it is the element of baseball that I think provides an opportunity for any team to win in any particular game, and that there's not a clock. This is a game that's going to be played until the very last strike and the very last out. And that means that lightning can strike, whether it's building momentum through bunting and sack flies, right, and some good base running, or through breakout big offensive at-bats, as well as the sort of consistency in defense that I think you've seen from a lot of the younger guys and some of the farm team guys that have been brought up through the ranks onto the Brewers crew. Sal Frelick stands out. Like, I love watching that guy play in the field. Like, that's just good baseball fun, right? And again and again. So for me, that's the first sort of pillar of the love of the game, is that any team can win. Now, I think it's damnedly hard in the shared revenue era for small market teams to put together enough of those wins over the course of the playoffs to win a World Series. It's just really hard, especially when you're staring down the barrel of some of those big money teams. The lineups, you're like, oh my gosh, how are we possibly going to get through this inning? So that's pillar one. But pillar two to me is that baseball, perhaps in my opinion, more than, for example, football or basketball, anybody that's going to play at the professional level has to have an incredible amount of natural ability. But there are elements of the game of baseball that are so technically precise that if one has an extraordinary, less than 5% of the population set of natural skills, but also works your butt off at these particular technical skills, you actually might have a shot to make the major leagues. You might not be a millionaire. You ain't going to be Aaron Judge or Mike Trout or any of the, or Willie Adames for that matter, but you might be able to make it. And the idea that any team can maybe win on any given day, and that if you have, again, a rare but goodly amount of natural ability with a bunch of hard work, you may make the major leagues. It gives me this sense of underdog possibility in baseball that I just don't find in football or the NBA. What are the things, if you're hearing me on that, like, great, talk about that. But what are the elements of baseball that make you such a diehard fan? Because to get into it at the level that you're at, Jason, you got to be in the weeds every day looking at the rosters, looking at the trades, looking at the IL, all that good stuff. So what do you love about baseball, Jason?
Yeah, it's all the things that you talked about, and I'll even go a level deeper, which is, for me, I love the fact that any player of sort of any build, size, or whatnot can make it, right? Like, when if you see a 5'6 guy in the NBA averaging 20 points a game, please let me know.
Right.
And I would become a basketball fan. But within baseball, you know, one of my favorite players on the Brewers is this guy named Caleb Durbin.
Yes.
Who was a prospect we got from the Yankees trade. He's my height, 5'6". That's the perfect height, I like to say. And he's great. He was a top prospect. He does everything that he needs to do. You're right. Is he going to hit 62 home runs in the season? Probably not. But he makes it work. He's fast. He's scrappy on defense. He's looking to make contact, looking to maximize bat to ball. And, you know, there's so many instances of even pitchers, right, who are on the smaller side, who throw velocity or have high spin and can make it work. So kind of everything that you said, if you have the drive, the heart, and the strategy, you can be a major leaguer and you can be a pretty solid one at that. So I love the idea that you never know what a baseball player is going to look like or what they're going to be like.
Yeah.
All you know is they're going to be good at baseball.
Yeah, for sure. And the fact that, like, every pitch, my dad, who played a lot of baseball, played in college. I grew up throwing the ball around with him, playing a lot of softball, a lot of travel softball, that he would get, my dad never really got angry at me if I screwed up, but I would get a damn stern talking to if what I had screwed up was a mental error. Because his line to me was, with every pitch, every single thing that happens on a diamond, you can anticipate with, like, very rare, like, black swan statistical anomaly, like, that's never happened before ever. But, like, whether it's going to be hit fair or foul to you, who the ball might be hit to on that field, as a hitter trying to anticipate and think through where is that pitcher going to go with this next pitch, all of that was possible. So the mental focus that you can bring to the game. And Jason, folks that have been listening to this show for a long time know that I love me some rugby, not only because I played rugby in college and won a national championship doing it, but because, like what you just said about baseball, I believe to also be true about rugby. There is a place for every body type and every kind of athlete on a rugby pitch. And you never know exactly who you may be squaring up against, because it takes all types to really fill out a squad and make a successful team successful. Folks, we are in the Sports Weekly segment here on the Maggie Dawn Show. I got a special guest out of Seattle, Washington. How fabulous is that? He's a writer and contributor to Brewer Fanatic. His name is Jason Wang. We're going to dive in a little bit more deeply after we come back after these brief messages about what comes next for the Brewers. Got a lot of new guys. We got Caleb Durbin, again, as Jason said, making great contact. Maybe not so much long ball. How are the Brewers going to stitch back together their bullpen and start to put some runs on the board? All that coming up next. You got a question for Jason or I, or you just want to tell us we've got it all wrong and we're all wet? 855-752-4842. That's 855-7-5-Civic. So I wanted to ask, a lot of folks that get into sports in this way, played sports in high school or have always been a sports junkie. Is that you, Jason? Do you love sports? Did you play in high school? How did you get to be such a sports junkie?
My family is not a sports family at all. We never had the Super Bowl on, never had any sort of, you know, game on the TV. I was too small in school to play sports. My parents, you know, they figured probably don't have the build to play sports and be good at it, so they had me in the classroom most of the time. But I think I just love the competitive nature of sports, and I think a lot of it's very inspiring. My first sport was actually boxing, kind of another sport where you could kind of make your way depending on what size you are. So once I started getting really into the weeds of boxing and the history of it, kind of the impact it's had culturally, I kind of saw that similarly in baseball. So I wouldn't say I grew up a huge sports guy, but I'm definitely one now.
Well, Jason, you just gave me some fodder for what we might start with after these brief messages. I did a little Muay Thai back in the day when I was living in New York City. So, brother, we may be talking boxing, Brewers, and burgers when we come back right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
We'll be right back. baseball might not be the first thing I remember, but it's one of the first things I remember. Welcome back, everybody. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Every Wednesday at 5 o'clock, we're going to do a little segment called The Sports Weekly, where I talk about things going on in the sports universe. Maybe not Stephen A. Smith potentially running for president, because that's just silly. And if you don't want to know what I'm talking about, that's probably a good thing. This afternoon, I've got a much better sports pundit, writer, and contributor to BrewersFanatic.com. His name's Jason Wang from Seattle, Washington, all the way here onto the Civic Media Radio Network. Reminder, folks, you can listen to me on the Civic Media app, which you can get for free wherever you get your apps from. And I come to you from 540 AM, WAUK, all across southeastern Wisconsin. Welcome back, Jason. And again, thanks for hanging out with us this hump day afternoon. Since you mentioned it, I got to talk about it. So you got into boxing. How did you stumble across boxing? Because I literally like stumbled across boxing, and that's how I got into it.
Yeah, I think that's how everybody gets into it. I got into it when Manny Pacquiao and Mayweather were finally fighting in 2015. Sure. And I saw it, and I didn't understand the hype. I was like, I can do better than this. So I rolled into a boxing gym and found out I could not indeed do better than that.
So were you rooting for Pacquiao or Mayweather?
I always root for whoever's smaller. So it was Pacquiao
all the way, right?
Yeah.
Pretty boy Floyd. So that's interesting. My boxing sort of discovery was I was just working out normally in a New York sports club, which is they're all over New York City. And I saw a class of people being trained to do boxing. Now, I have, for my entire life, hated fitness classes. Like, hated them. I will not show up for a fitness class. I don't understand Orange Theory. All I want is myself, a visor, headphones, and, like, do not bug me when I'm at the gym. That's my approach. But I was like, ooh, that looks really interesting and different, and it looked really difficult to me. So I walked in after the class was over and started talking to the trainer. Turns out this guy's whole family, he grew up in Puerto Rico, and like his grandfather was a boxing trainer. His dad was a boxing trainer. So I started to do some one-on-one training with him. And I had thought I had found like my puke point, like that I knew that very well from playing rugby in college. Oh, no, 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 no. I was humbled in a completely different way trying to get to a certain skill level in boxing. The idea of being hit and trying to breathe at the same time is so damn hard. People have no idea. They call it a sweet science for a reason. What's your favorite part about boxing, Jason? And do you still box?
I don't box competitively anymore. I think it got a certain point where we would spar, and then everybody was thinking about kind of, you know, cutting weight, getting ready for the next fight, and I was thinking about work the next morning. So I figured
it's a little hard.
Probably keep my day job is going to be the better choice. But my favorite part about boxing was how global it was, right? Like boxing countries all over, Japan, Puerto Rico, Mexico, America, all over, Germany. I thought that was really cool. And then I just loved the people that I met in the world of boxing, how resilient they were, how cool their stories were, and how grounded they were. Boxing is a sport where you can't afford to be delusional or delirious. So
yeah, you'll get your butt kicked and your bell rung big time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It reminded me, the culture around boxing actually reminded me a lot of the culture that's around rugby, because the sport itself is violent, right? It is dangerous. What I found, and this is rugby the world over, if you are the host team, you get done, you host that team that's traveling, they stay in your homes, you provide them food and a warm bed, and you give them as many adult beverages as they want. It's a real community. And I found the same thing, especially in True Blue boxing gyms. And folks, if you think you've been in a boxing gym and you did not get hit by a wall of stink when you walked in, I have news for you. You were not in a boxing gym. A boxing gym will make, like, the smell is overwhelming and not in a good way. I always used to do a little bit of Vicks VapoRub before I would go into one particular boxing gym, just to like get me over the hump before my nostrils got acclimated. Jason, looking at what comes next for the Brewers, we've had some bright spots. both in the bullpen and with the bats. We've been struggling to get loft and to put some long balls out there. Seems to be that some small ball baseball is coming together. What do you think Brewers fans should be looking for as the harbinger of what's to come this season?
Yeah, I think a lot of it comes down to who we're getting back from the injured list, because I think that's going to form the core moving forward. If you look at the number of people or the specific names that we have that are out, a lot of them are very familiar. Brandon Woodruff, Aaron Ashby,
right.
Aaron Civale, Robert Gasser. Those are big names that when they come back will have an impact. And the rotation has pretty much held its own outside of the rough torpedo bat Nestor Cortez started against the Yankees. That's kind of skewing a lot of the numbers. But I think that, plus a lot of these younger prospects starting to come into their own, mature, and get more big league reps, is going to be really important for driving momentum for the rest of the season.
Yeah, getting those plate appearances, looking at pitches coming off the hands of a lot of different pitchers at big league speed, big league movement, and just getting those reps is so important to get to that place of comfortability and to, frankly, work some kinks out of your hitting practice, right? Like, that's going to be critical. I'm so excited to have you on, Jason. I know we're going to do this again in the coming months, talking boxing, talking baseball. We'll get to good baseball food maybe the next time. Folks, that's Jason Wang. You can check out his great work. He's a writer and contributor at BrewerFanatic.com. Thanks so much, Jason. Folks, when we come back, it's going to be What's Your Thing? The midweek sound off. Which one of Donald Trump's many corruption problems do you think is the worst? There are many to choose from. We're going to discuss all that next. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. What's Your Thing? Next on the Civic Media Radio Network. Cecilia, it's the Maggie Dawn Show. Welcome back. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Big thanks to my last guest, contributor and writer at BrewerFanatic.com. Thanks so much, Jason. We really appreciated having you here. Now it is time for the midweek sound off, and we've got somebody sounding off already on the text line. AJ from Madison. I see you, brother. AJ from Madison writing in that I am a sellout. Maggie Dawn is a sellout, and he is really ticked off that we don't talk about politics every single minute on this show. AJ, of course, I'll give you some love because it is the midweek sound off. I'm sorry. I need a little break from politics. I think we all do. And trust me, I get to plenty of politics on this show. I hope you keep listening, AJ. If you want to get in your midweek sound off, something you don't like about this program, I'll always take a little constructive feedback. 855-752-4842. But more importantly, theme of today's show is Donald Trump is, by every objective measure, the most corrupt president in modern American history. Period. Full stop. I don't need to fill in the blanks. I don't need to guess. I don't need to make inferences. I don't ask you to make some inferential leap. It's the facts. The things that he's done are corrupt. And if we began and ended the conversation with the meme coins, that would be enough right there. It is a direct gift of money to the president of the United States. I could talk about the fact that he dragged Saudi Arabia and LIV, Live or Live Golf, into the White House, as well as the PGA, and walked out with the PGA saying, oh, yeah, we'll do some tournaments at Trump properties, no problem. That's corruption. The use of your political office to generate personal wealth and to favor trade to generate personal wealth is corruption, period, full stop. There's more corruption here than there's been in any other modern American presidency. Donald Trump makes Richard Nixon look like a stinking Boy Scout, for crying out loud. So that's what I'm sounding off on this afternoon. What's your thing for our midweek sound off? 855-752-4842. We've got one of my favorite callers, Richard from Waukesha. What's your midweek sound off, Richard?
I got a great sound off, if you let me finish it short. His flip-flopping and what you just had said, his dealings, And there's a classic movie I just watched. It's ahead of its time. Jodie Foster produced Money Monster.
Money Monster. I've never heard of this film. I'm going to have to go check it out.
Situation. It fits perfect.
I love it. Money Monster. I've got my
week. It's a game show called Money Monster.
Perfect. Well, thanks so much, Richard.
Have a good one.
You too. Take care, sir. I've got my weekend watch list starting to come together courtesy of Richard, the Money Monster. I'm going to have to go check that out. We got Ollie from the Northwoods. Ollie, what's your midweek sound off?
Well, I want to sound off in the same vein as you. Donald Trump is nothing but corrupt, and I don't understand how every single one of the Republican senators and people in Congress won't refuse to stand up to him. They just gloss over everything he does. And I remember not too long ago, they were wanting to get after Biden every time he even talked on the phone with his son. It's just so hypocritical.
Yeah, they were literally worried about like a $20,000 truck or something. This, let's just take as true, which they have not been able to produce a shred of direct evidence of Joe Biden or Hunter Biden's alleged corruption. Let's just take it. Yep, let's just assume all that's true for argument's sake. The legal term is arguendo. In arguendo, for argument's sake, let's just assume all that's true. And I can look at you square in the face and say objectively at on both scale, total dollar value, acuity, likelihood of compromising U.S. interests, both economically and on a foreign policy basis, likelihood of making the middle class worse off, not better. Everything Donald Trump's doing is so much worse on every conceivable metric, all of them. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. A bit of news. Apparently, the United States and Ukraine have reached a mineral rights agreement. This is the Reconstruction Investment Fund, which is a long-awaited mineral deal that gives the U.S. rights to Ukrainian rare earth metals. You know, the stuff that Musk needs to build Teslas and run Neuralink and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. That stuff. Donald Trump has now successfully actually extorted the mineral rights deal from Ukraine under threat of no more U.S. support in Ukraine's war against the Russian aggressor, also known as authoritarian Vladimir Putin. But I've now digressed. Let's get back to those phone lines. Jim from Appleton, what's your midweek sound off, my friend?
My midweek sound off is Trump's market manipulation.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
401k in the tank and the billionaire bros getting more billions. It's driving me crazy.
100%. Thanks so much, Jim. That is a damn good one. Donald Trump outlawed corruption, posting on Truth Social the day of about 4 hours before he was like, oh, those reciprocal tariffs, never mind. Posts. It's a good time to buy. And then bragged later that afternoon that two billionaires had more billions. Again, guess who does well in recessions? Rich people, not regular people. And what we're about to enter into is a period of stagflation. You've heard this word before. Here's what it means. Stag, as in stagnation, as in slowing growth or stopped growth, where your real income isn't increasing, where there aren't more jobs, where the economy isn't expanding. Yeah, stagnation plus inflation, meaning stuff is more expensive tomorrow than it was today, which when you combine with stagflation means not only are things expensive, you actually have less money and the economy isn't growing overall at all. And the problem with stagflation is that we don't have many tools to fight it because the tools that you use to fight inflation make stagflation or the stagnation worse. And the tools that you would use to help juice the economy and spur growth make inflation work. This is where we're at, everybody. 855-752-4842-855-75-CIVIC. What is your midweek sound off? We're taking entries in. What's the most corrupt thing that Donald Trump has done? There is literally an infinite list of candidates for that top prize. We've got Jeannie from Eau Claire. Hi, Jeannie. What's your midweek sound off?
Well, there's too many to name here. But the thing of it is we have to stop being suckers. You know, the snake story, Trump's favorite story. You knew what I was before you took me in. And then they bit the woman in the neck and hurt her. She died. It's nuts. I've never seen anything so ludicrous in my life. And I am so proud of you for the great job you're doing reporting the facts to the people. They need to wake up. We were conned with Foxconn. He continues the con, and we're the ones that are being hurt. He never cared about anybody in his life. Why should he start now?
Boom. Clip that. Cut it. That's the promo right there. Thanks so much, Jeannie from Eau Claire. Donald Trump never cared about anybody but himself. Just look at the way the man has lived his life. When asked as a Christian, what have you asked God for forgiveness for? Answer, nothing. Guess what? Makes him not a Christian. Donald Trump has never cared about anybody but him damn self. His damn self. He ain't starting now. These are the facts as we see them. I've got one that I want to add because Sue from Franklin on the text line 855-752-4842 has a whopper. She's got a two-parter midweek sound off. Here's Sue's first item in her midweek sound off. Where in the heck is Congress? Crickets! They don't stand up to the administration. Every time they are interviewed or talk to the press, the Republicans spew lies and they aren't corrected by the media. The interview last night with Terry Moran was terrible. He tried to push back and Trump came back with, oh, this is such a great career move for you. I don't even know who you are or something like that. Yes, Sue, it was absolutely ridiculous. Let's take a little bit of that sound because, wow. This is going to be cut 15. Let's go ahead and take a listen.
Concern out there. People are worried. Even some people who voted for you saying, I didn't sign up for this. So how do you answer those concerns?
Well, they did sign up for it, actually, and this is what I campaigned on. I said that we've been abused by other countries at levels that nobody's ever seen before. We were losing $3 to $5 billion a day on trade.
I didn't sign up for this. Donald Trump's response, oh yeah, you did. And do you remember Donald Trump saying this during the debates, that like stuff's just going to cost more and that's just fine? This is cut 20.
Secretary called it a hostile and political act for companies like Amazon to display the cost of tariffs that they're having on consumers. Do you think consumers should know how much more they're going to be required to pay?
Well, I mean, I think that's a conversation.
Let's just hold this one, Jacob. That was my fault. I asked for the wrong cue. And if you want to know the punchline on that one, you know, Amazon trying to present price transparency and Donald Trump killing that. Senator John Thune there being asked about it. Isn't it a good thing if people can tell what Trump's terror tariffs have added to their price of the things that they buy on Amazon? And Senator Thune saying nothing in response to that question. Here's what I really wanted to listen to. Thank you, Jacob. This is cut 21.
The children will have two dolls instead of 30 dolls, you know? And maybe the two dolls will cost a couple of bucks more than they would normally. But we're not talking about something that we have to go out of our way. They have ships that are loaded up with stuff, much of which, not all of it, but much of which we don't need.
Okay. What? So we're going to go from $30 to $2, and those $2 will buy you less. And that's fine because we really don't need stuff from China. That's what the man just said. I don't remember hearing him on the campaign trail saying we're going to have inflation of 94%. And whatever dollars you may have over after I crush the global economy with all of my Trumpflation, yeah, that won't buy as much stuff as it did before. I think I remember the man promising cheaper eggs and Ukraine peace on day one, and we haven't seen any of that to date. That is just, that statement is so stunning. And let me say this as well. This is my midweek sound off part two. The only people who I have heard joking about how bad Donald Trump is wrecking our economy? The only people I hear joking about that are Elon Musk, Donald Trump, Howard Lutnick, Scott Bessent, and guess what all those guys have in common? They have hundreds of millions of dollars, if not billions. So how dare you laugh at the fact that people may not be able to afford to buy their children toys and that those things may cost more? Because trust me, folks, when the toys cost more, everything is costing more. Would it be okay if he would have said, we would have had 30 new manufacturing plants, but instead we'll only have two and they'll pay less wages? I think not. That's going to do it for this week's midweek sound off. When we come back, we've got Over the Hump and Trump, a little bit of hope and good things to end your hump day with us here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
It's a good day to have a great day, baby. I woke up, sunshine knocking on my window. Feeling cooler than the other side of my feather pillow. Yeah. It's been a minute.
It is a good day to have a great day. And experiencing some joy and togetherness and having a great day is its own version of rebellion and resistance. Please remember to take care of yourself and others around you. This is the segment we like to call Over the Hump and Trump. We do it every Wednesday at 5:50 to send you off on this hump day into your evening with a little bit of positivity and goodness. The first thing I wanted to talk about is that we are coming up on May Day, May 1st, and continuing on. May Day is also referred to as Law Day. There's a lot of things going on, labor festivals. There are protests being held by Voces de la Frontera in Milwaukee celebrating immigrants and their contributions to all of our communities across the state of Wisconsin. You can check out where a protest might be close to you. Just Google May Day protests. Hands Off has some protests going on, all kinds of things. We've got an interactive map. We're going to post one of those websites in our show notes for you today. I'm pretty excited about that. I'm going to spend some time on tomorrow's show talking about what Law Day means. Why is that important? Where did it come from? What does it mean in this time of utter lawlessness from Donald Trump? And the news every day seemingly gets worse and worse and worse. So we're going to talk about all that today. But one of my dear, dear friends sent me an article yesterday that I was just thrilled to receive. The article's headline was this: Tiny Dachshund survives 16 months on remote island and is finally rescued. If you've been listening to the program, you may know that I have a tiny little dachshund. Her name is Finny, and she is a wily little customer, I'll say that. She has gotten loose a couple of times, and I have nearly lost my mind searching for her. So this story had a particular amount of poignancy. This miniature dachshund was about a year old and weighed 8 pounds. That is less than a bowling ball most places. Weighed 8 pounds and got lost, ran away from its owners on this very rugged island off of Australia's southern coast. So you got this 8-pound little dog. Oh, by the way, the owners called her Princess. And she's this smooth-coated, tiny little black dachshund with little brown marks. And suffice it to say, rugged island off the coast of Australia is a pretty dangerous place, like venomous snakes, a lot of predator animals. And the island is called Kangaroo Island. So in any case, when they lost her, she was this, you know, very finely groomed, beautiful little princess. And when they finally were able to catch up with her 16 months later, She was a rugged outdoors woman that had made this little dachshund into quite the outdoors woman. They had wildlife rescuers looking for her. They had cameras. They had infrared, all of these different tools at their disposal. But Princess, like Finny and most dachshunds that I know, was lightning fast, and they would come really close to being able to snatch her up and save her, and then she would scoot out. They eventually got her by putting a whole pile of treats and fresh food and her owner's clothing in a pretty large, elaborate trap for her, right? But very relieved to hear about a tiny little dachshund getting rescued. That is some good news. The other thing I wanted to share with you all is there's been something floating around on social media that was attributed to Pope Francis, and it's not from Pope Francis, but I'm going to read it to you anyways. Nobody really knows where it came from, but I found it to be quite poignant, and that's what I'm going to leave all of you with this afternoon, this Wednesday hump day. Here it goes. This is unattributed. Don't know who wrote it. The walls of hospitals have heard more honest prayers than churches. They have witnessed far more sincere kisses than those in airports. It's in hospitals that you will see a homophobe being saved by a gay doctor, a privileged doctor saving the life of a beggar, and in intensive care, you may see a Jewish person taking care of a racist. A police officer and a prisoner will be in the same room receiving the same care. A wealthy patient waiting for a liver transplant, ready to receive the organ from a poor donor. It's in these moments when the hospital touches the wounds of people that different worlds intersect according to a divine design. And in this communion of destinies, we realize that alone, we are nothing. The absolute truth of people, most of the time, only reveals itself in moments of pain or in the real threat of an irreversible loss. And a hospital is a place where human beings remove their masks and show themselves as they truly are, in their purest essence. This life will pass quickly, so don't waste it fighting with people. Do not complain excessively. Try not to lose sleep over bills. Make sure to hug your loved ones. Do not worry too much about keeping the house spotless. Material goods must be earned by each person, but do not dedicate yourself to accumulating an inheritance. You are waiting, likely, for too much. For Friday, the weekend, maybe next year, when you have more money, when love finally arrives, when everything is perfect. But perfection does not exist. A human being cannot attain it simply because we are not made to be fulfilled in that way. Here, we are given an opportunity to humbly learn. So make the most of this trial of life and do it now. Respect yourself. Respect others. Walk your own path. Don't let go of it for a path others may have chosen for you. But remember, do not judge. Do not interfere. Love more, forgive more, embrace more, and try to live life more intensely. And most of all, look out for your neighbor as yourself. It is a good day to have a great day. Thanks for being with me this afternoon. I'll be back tomorrow. The little discussion of Law Day on May 1st. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me, but it is always better when we stand together.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.